what I am going to talk about is virtual machine images as structured data and how we use that driving principle in the Mirage image library. And I'm here representing a team of researchers at IBM, including Voss Bala, Todd Mummert, Dale Reimer, and Catherine Zhang. So I'm going to start out by, you know, motivating the work, and I'll talk a little bit about that driving principle, and then I'm just going to dive right into experiences that we've had with using the system. So why image libraries? Why are these important? Well, you know, one way to think about it is a virtual machine image takes an application's configuration, all of its dependencies, all of its little knobs that you can tweak, and puts them into one place where you can analyze them and you know, possibly change them. So similarly, an image library takes enterprise's configuration and puts that into one place. And you know, I'm talking about an enterprise configuration because that's really IBM's customers, you know, large companies that have large and complicated software systems that have developed over a number of years. So once we had this image library, well, we should be able to use it to improve maintenance. So these companies, you know, are stuck with physical machines now, and they have to do security scans. They have to do constant patching. They're going to have to be able to do those same things when they virtualize, but we're hoping the image library, by putting all of everything in one place, will make that a lot easier. It also permits things that are very difficult to do, for them to do now. They can't do it all, such as searching through their installed base. You heard a talk by Wolf Richter about that yesterday. Mining it for interesting properties, comparing different systems in the enterprise. So you know, they can answer questions like, what database management systems do we use? Why did our web app, which was working yesterday, fail today? So in order to do this, you know, image library has to go beyond just deploying images as instances in a cloud or capturing instances in the cloud as images. You have to be able to do provenance. You have to be able to answer questions like, this image was created by modifying what other image? Where did it come from? You have to have version control. You have to be able to know, this is what our image, which supports this web app looked like yesterday, and this is what it looks like today. You have to have access control. You have to be able to have you know, efficient tools that, in an offline manner, do maintenance and analyses over these images. You don't want to have to be to start up an image every time you want to answer a question about it. So the driving principle that makes this possible in Mirage is virtual machine images as structured data. So on the left of this picture, I have basically what comes in and what goes out of the library. So just a virtual machine disk image, an unstructured array of bytes. And then when you check something in it, we transform it into this structured form, which makes manifest a lot of the metadata about the files that are in that image. So you have an image manifest that has metadata about the image itself, points to a disk manifest, which in turn points to a file system manifest, which just lists the files that are in the image. And importantly, the contents of the actual files are stored off to the side in a content address store. So what appears in this data structure here are just really links to things that are over here. And I'll show you later how you can use this, how you can do some operations on files, on images, just by looking at these manifests and not touching the stuff that's over here. So let me dive into experiences. So the first one I want to talk about is the Research Compute Cloud at IBM, or RC2. So what this is it's a small cloud, like a couple thousand instances perhaps running right now, that are used by IBM researchers worldwide. And really it has served a dual purpose. You know, one is for people to do work, but also for people to test out their ideas, like Mirage, in something akin to a real cloud environment. And a problem that they had after about a year of operation was that they decided to convert the base from Xen to KVM. And they wanted to convert all the images so that they would run in a new environment. And they wanted to do this with no downtime, low resource use, be transparent to users, so users shouldn't be able to tell that their image was just converted. And in order to effect this change, they had to make a lot of changes to the images, install new kernels and kernel modules, and change some configuration parameters. And this ended up being a very iterative process where they wrote a script to do this. They ran the script on the first few images, and they came across one where it didn't work. So they had to find the bug, fix that bug, and then try again. And in this whole process, the version control features of Mirage were useful because it allowed them to roll back to a prior state very easily, and also to do comparisons for debugging purposes to see why the script failed. You know, to address the low resource use, we have a feature called virtual mount, which is, goes back to that picture of structured image, images of structured data, which I'll talk a little bit about right now. So on the right, you see an image manifest. And on the left, there's sort of a sequence of commands. These aren't real commands, but they're just show you the sorts of things you can do that they're going to go through while modifying an image. So the first thing is import this new KVM kernel into the system. This is going to create some new item in the CAS, which corresponds to the file contents of that kernel. So here's the kernel over here, this blue thing. And then you mount the image. So you mount the image's file systems under /mount. And this is implemented with the fuse daemon. It's just an on-demand thing. It's not we're not reconstructing the disk image to do this. And then you can operate on the thing. You can do we add a new primitive, which allows you to replace the content of a file with something that's already in the CAS just by giving an identifier. So I give it this blue identifier. That means take this /boot/kernel and make that error that used to point to this green thing now point to this blue thing. So this is something you can do very quickly. And again, and we also support, but it, you know, not in an optimized fashion, really, all the other things you can normally do with a mounted file system. So you can open up a file and edit it, change lines, and that will result in changes over here where new things will get added to the CAS and these pointers will get updated. Okay, so the second place where we've deployed this is in a product from IBM called the IBM Workload Deployer. And what this is it's an appliance. It's a box that we sell to customers, and they bring it into their data center, and they use that to deploy images to the machines that they already have, as well as capture things that run on the machines already and put them into the library. So this gives them that enterprise configuration and all-in-one-place view that I've been talking about. So, you know, one scenario that customers talk about is here. So keep in mind that these customers have very complicated environments, very complicated teams working on these environments, very complicated workflow. So, you know, particularly this one has an OS team. It's responsible for producing the image, which is the base operating system that everybody's supposed to use. And then a middleware team that installs some kind of middleware on it that, again, everybody's supposed to use. So the middleware team consumes something from the OS team and then installs middleware on it to make something else that then gets consumed by the application team. And the application team installs the application, and then finally the C.1 thing here is what actually gets to run to provide some sort of a service. And the problem that they have, which we hope to be easing, is that is managing the changes that happen. So the OS team decides, no, you need to be running a different version of the operating system now. So they have an update, and this has to propagate along the way. And what they can do with Mirage now is compute a diff between A0 and A1, and then automatically apply, using the virtual mount features I was talking about earlier, the patch to B.1 to produce a B.2. And, you know, of course, some of the middleware team is going to have to look at B.2 and say, you know, this automated system actually did the correct thing. But this is at least easier than going through the whole process that they went through initially again. And so that's, you know, really all I wanted to tell you about Mirage in my talk, and I'm happy to take questions now.
Eyal Lelar, University of Toronto. Interesting stuff. I have a question. I can definitely see how you can operate at the granularity of full files by just removing a file and replacing it with something else. But in the kind of, you know, patching that you're talking about there, how do you handle, you know, changes within a file? So, you know, a configuration value in some file in, you know, /etc or
something like that. Right. So as I said, we don't optimize for that case. So the virtual mount is an on-demand thing. So it's, you know, like any other sort of network file system that fetches things on demand or distributed file system. We won't fetch all the files just because you wanted to modify one. We're no faster than if you had a disk image and mounted it and had some on-demand way of serving the blocks. We're no faster than that. So the benefit is if you don't have to do that too often. We have some evidence that that's so.
Yeah. Just to clarify the last point here, I guess you're making the claim that moving from A0 to B0 to B1 or from B0 to B2 is significantly harder than patching from B1 to B2. Is that because there's a lot of manual or touch labor to move
exactly.
from B to B0
to B1?
There's a
lot of manual labor involved that we are.
Okay. Whereas B1 to B2 is primarily automated?
That's right. So that's the manual part that comes in with going is verifying that B2 is right as opposed to doing the manual steps of creating it.
Any other clarifying questions? All right. Go ahead.
Dorival Guedes from Federal University of Minas Gerais in Brazil. How do you deal with problems like concurrent changes between B0 and B1 and A0 and A1, for example? If on installing the middleware there was some change that changed some file that was also changed during the update from A1, A0 to A1.
So you're saying that the OS team will have some modifications to make to the operating system. Meanwhile, the middleware team will be doing some modifications to their middleware.
Yeah, when the middleware team did the installation to the middleware, they had to change some configuration in the OS, for example.
Right.
And now the OS team updated the OS, and that may have a conflict with some changes that the middleware team did.
So that sort of thing will show up as conflicts, perhaps. In the patch. So if you use a source code control system and two people are doing things, you'll see conflicts, maybe. Just like source code control systems, you're kind of optimistic. You kind of assume, if Joe's working on this routine over there and I'm working on this routine over here, the source code control system might not give me any conflicts. You try to structure your software so that if the source code control system tells you no conflicts, that it's likely that there really are none. But that's a try, right? This is why the middleware team has to come back and verify that B2 is actually the right thing.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, Glenn.